Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to episode 16 of the No Look Past podcast presented to you by WRSPN.com. We want to thank you for tuning in. You could be listening to anything in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that. I am your host, Frank Santos, a.k.a. my mom's favorite son, who can't believe people actually find Jack Black funny. And I have my co-host with me today, Andy Flint. Flintmo, what's good?
You know how I can tell the rest of my family is downstairs watching the football game on the iPad? I just heard them during our opening credits here scream about the Gronkowski touchdown in the Patriots-Broncos game. Fun fact.
Yeah, that might be the worst touchdown pass I've ever seen. Okay, so we're here to get into our show. As usual, we are going to go with the While You Were Watching TNT segment. This week we were watching the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then we want to give you sort of a sneak preview into tomorrow's marquee matchup, which is not so marquee anymore with the Spurs and the Warriors, considering Pop has already rested Tim Duncan and might rest some more players. But we are going to start with the news of the week. I think it's fair to start this way with the Cavaliers obviously dismissing David Blatt, promoting Tyronn Lue to be their head coach, apparently, for the long term, signing to a three-year deal. And, Andy, I just want to, quick, before we get into the Timberwolves, I just want to get some of your thoughts on the firing here.
Well, you know, right before we started rolling, I was trying to give you a secret message, and it was to say, hey, we should touch the David Blatt thing first. So, good job, Frank. I mean, you read my mind. So, I just have a couple of quick points.
We got that kind of chemistry.
We do. I have a couple of quick points just for the sake of keeping this quick. The biggest thing for me with the David Blatt firing, and I know people are upset everywhere, but I never truly saw Blatt's fingerprints on this team. I never saw him mold it, even the way Eric Spoelstra did when he went to Miami. I mean, he built traits. They were noticeable traits. And I think he applied them even as early as the midway point through his first season with Wade Bosch and LeBron. And I think you could see and you could look at what Spo did, and you could say, hey, you know, that was a Spo possession or a quarter or a game even. And you can still see some of these things today that he does. And I think he developed a style of coaching. I just never really saw it with Blatt. I mean, it's been, you know, over an entire season. And I just don't think it worked, whether it was him, whether it was the personnel or the combination of both. I never really saw it for David Blatt. And I kind of thought they should have rolled into this season with a different head coach. Tyronn Lue, on the other hand, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. As you know, I'm not a huge fan of the midseason firing just because I don't think you can have a new coach implement a new system, which it sounds like Tyronn Lue does not actually want to implement a new system. He's sort of been a little hypocritical because, you know, there was that quote that he wasn't going to do things differently. He was just going to do them better. But then after the game last night, he said, well, I want to run faster, and these guys aren't in shape to run the pace that I want to run, which makes it sound like you're running something different than David Blatt's running. So I don't know where to go with that. But I agree. I think Spo is a good comparison, obviously, with the LeBron situation, and you make a good point. People don't remember this as much, but the Heat struggled when the big three got together. You know, were they 9-9 or something like that? Because they were trying to implement this new system that we now know as the Spoelstra system, you know, with the ball movement and all that stuff. So it's the system that maybe at the beginning we didn't realize that was like the Spo system, but now that he's been a head coach for so long, we realize that that's what it is. But let's be honest. I mean, the David Blatt firing has been in the works since he was hired, because when he was not hired to coach LeBron James, he was hired to coach Kyrie Irving and a bunch of young guys and an up-and-coming team, and then all of a sudden LeBron James decides he wants to come to Cleveland, and then all, you know, it's sort of like this weird thing where we just hired this guy, but he's probably not the coach for this team, so what do? Do we fire him 2 weeks later after we just hired him? No, you try it out, see how it goes. But it was one of those things where, you know how we talked about Hassan Whiteside last week, how all it takes is 5 to 7 games for you to wear out your welcome. It was sort of like that with David Blatt, too. All they needed was an excuse. They were just looking for an excuse to fire him, and then obviously the Warriors game where they just got pummeled, that was the excuse. It was just like, okay, here's how we can sell it to people. So, you know, this loss happened, and now we can actually make an excuse and actually fire David Blatt. That's how I saw it, and I think ultimately it is the right decision, because I don't think David Blatt was the coach for that team, so you got to do it at some point, but I agree with you. I thought it should have just been done before the season. Everybody knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time it looks like that team is just playing basketball with LeBron James as the hardwood coach, and I don't know. I feel like the command was never there. And that was the other thing with Eric Spoelstra. Is I said the first second Spoelstra was that head coach of that team, those guys, I said there's no way this dude lasts all year. And you know, I couldn't have been more wrong. He came in there and he has the Pat Riley-esque thing to him, and it works. And he always just kind of seems like he'd say something, and it wasn't just LeBron. I know people make it about LeBron, but it was other players too. It was just like nobody, he was there, but nobody was listening. And I would love to see how a practice was going, was run by David Blatt.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Spo comparison is a little different because, like, you sort of touched on it. The Miami Heat sort of have a better organization than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers are quietly still a mess, even with things. You know, it starts with Darren Gilbert and it goes all the way down. So, obviously, when you have a Pat Riley and he says, all right, Spo's my guy, then people listen because Pat Riley has authority in the league as a person, as a, you know, anybody that knows basketball knows Pat Riley. So, I think that's the difference. But we are going to move on from the David Blatt firing and continue with our weekly segment. While you were watching TNT, we were watching the terribly but entertaining Minnesota Timberwolves. A three-game work week for them. They went at New Orleans, at Dallas, both losses, and then they salvaged the week with a win at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Andy Flint, how many Minnesota Timberwolves games did you watch this week?
I caught two of the games. Caught the Grizzlies game, and I caught the Pelicans game. So I got to see him win one and lose one. I wish I had seen the Dallas game, though. That one seemed like the most interesting.
Yeah, it was. That was the game. I watched the New Orleans game, the Dallas game, and I caught the second half of the Memphis game last night just because I saw that they were actually going to win a game. So we'll get into that in a moment. But what were some of your impressions of the young Timberwolves here?
You know, they kind of are as advertised, in my mind at least. And, I mean, we are talking about a very young organization. We are also talking about an organization that drafted not one but two point guards ahead of the infamous Steph Curry, one of which still plays there. The other bum from upstate New York basketball is gone. He's flipping burgers somewhere. And, you know, it's kind of very funny and ironic, and I'm actually going to use the whole Steph Curry, Minnesota passing on him twice thing in a second here. I think first, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, just the combination of those two guys to think about what it's going to be in probably, we'll say, 3 years. Because the Towns looks like he's going to, you know, some of these guys, like, see, people don't take things into consideration sometimes about how long it takes players to develop. And, you know,
absolutely.
We see guys like, I mean, a great example here is a Victor Oladipo. He had a really good second year, and now his third year has been rocky. So people don't realize that. How long has Steph Curry been, like, the most popular guy on the planet? I mean, really, this season and last. And
Towards the end of last season.
We're talking about a 27-year-old. He's not 24. I mean, guys develop at a different pace, and that's the thing about Ricky Rubio and the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's 25 years old, this guy. People don't remember how young he was when he came into the league. So you're talking him, Wiggins, Towns. We have Zach LaVine, my boy, my favorite college player of all time, Adrian Payne is there. I mean, Gorgui Zhang. You just have all of these guys, and they have a lot of good pieces. So I think they're in a really good position moving forward as they have pieces to either trade or develop. And I'm just not sure. I feel like this team is a team that, you know, could be much better than whatever their record is. It's kind of miserable. I think they're like 15-31 or something like that. 14-31. I was giving them an extra win in there. This team has a lot of things coming together, and you know, I think they could be a good team here in a couple of years, but right now it's kind of a circus. They're kind of like the Kings in a sense.
That's a good comparison. I think I'm glad that you stated their record, because the first thing that I saw, because like I said, when you announced last week and we were watching them, I have not seen many of their games aside from the first 5 to 10 games. I maybe watched a couple just at the beginning of the season. So I hadn't really seen them since then. So they had a solid first date performance against the Pelicans in the first half. You know, like, you meet somebody's representative on the first date, you don't quite meet them. So KG's hitting 18-footers, Wiggins and Towns are on point, Towns hits a three, Wiggins is going to the rim, and then you find out that they fart in their sleep and you don't really – they don't put the toilet paper on the right way, or, you know, they, like, leave the toilet seat up, whatever. Like, you find out all these bad things about them because they are indeed a 14-31 team. But you wouldn't have known it if you watched their Pelicans first half performance, which they ended up losing that game because they just came back down to earth to who they were. The big thing, obviously, Karl Anthony Towns, and we have to talk about two things. One on the court, which is that he just plays with confidence. You can just see the KG, like, influence in him because he is just a rookie that does not realize he's a rookie. The guy does everything forcefully. He gobbles up rebounds. I call it the Chris Humphries effect because Chris Humphries used to do this for Lopez all the time, where, like, every rebound is his. It doesn't even matter if he steals it from a teammate. He just wants every rebound to be his, which is good for a young player. But the other thing we got to talk about really quick, Andy, are you on board the cat as a nickname, cat nickname, yes or no?
No, I'm not.
No, I don't like it either.
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's like,
right, because it's his initials, yeah.
But yeah, but it's weird to call a dude cat, I think. I think, like, that's like strictly a name. I mean, and I'm going to get hate mail, but this is a name reserved for chicks, like strippers. I don't know, man. Cat.
Yeah,
K. If you start changing it, it's like you go to the club, you know you're going to see a girl named Carly with a K, or it's like Cinnamon with an S or something. I mean, no.
Yeah, the other thing that scares me is the fact that his name is Karl Anthony Towns with a K. It sort of has like a C where a K should be, and that sort of has like a future Kardashian hook up in the future, and don't go there. Don't go there, Karl Anthony Towns. I don't want to see you and Kendall Jenner in Bora Bora or wherever they go. Don't do it. But back on the court, I think the rookie-vet combo really works for this team. You know, they got KG, they have Tayshaun Prince, Andre Miller's, YMCAing on the bench, because he's like a 12th man now, he doesn't even play. But they really have, even like Nikola Pekovic is a nice, you know, even though he's a younger guy, he's still, I always consider him a veteran. And they sort of have that nice combo where
he looks
they
like
have
he's
guys,
45.
Yeah, he most certainly does. And he also looks like somebody you don't want to meet in the back alley. But, you know, they sort of have these rookies that can play in big situations. Like, they like to get Wiggins and Towns in these games, and they run plays for them late because they have the kind of veterans that either, if you're like KG and you just don't play, you know, you play 6 minutes at a time, or you just have these guys that are okay at this point in their career just saying, okay, we're going to develop the young guys, and when there's 2 minutes left in the game, I don't want the ball. Give it to Andrew Wiggins. Let's see what he can do. Let's see what Karl Anthony Towns can draw up on a clutch play. So I really like that about this team. I feel like that they have a good recipe there. The other thing I wanted to touch on is that there's two plays I watched this week that I've never seen in an NBA game while I was watching the Minnesota Timberwolves. I saw a double delay of game. So, you know, when you get two delay of games, you get a technical foul. In the Mavericks game, each team got two delay of games, and each team shot a technical free throw because of delay of game. So I've never seen that before. And also in the same game, Chandler Parsons commits an offensive foul with the basketball. Like, he was pump faking, and he hit, I believe, I want to say it was Tayshaun Prince, it might have been Andrew Wiggins, he hits him in the face with the ball, and the ref calls a foul. I don't actually know if that's a foul, but it was just the weirdest thing. I've never even seen that at all in my life.
Yeah, and another guy we didn't really mention anything about is Shabazz Muhammad. I think he's like one of those really prolific, like, sketchy players, because he went from being, you know, such a highly touted prospect coming into the league to being like, now nobody wants him. He goes like mid round somewhere to the Jazz. And now he's here 2 years later, and, you know, he's chipping in 10 and 3 rebounds. His PER is about 15, up there close to 15. So I think he's been a good player. They have a weird design in their rotation, so if you look at it, and this is another thing I just found was funny, it's not really even all that important, but you have such a young, big guy cast at center with Karl Anthony Towns, Jang, and even Pekovic is somehow he manages to be the third center in the rotation at this point. And then you have the shooting guard and the point guard. You know, you have Wiggins, Levine, and then Kevin Martin's third, and then you have Ricky Rubio, Tyus Jones, and Andre Miller there. So you have, like, all these young guys at the tops of these, and then you go look at the forward positions, you have KG and Tayshaun Prince. Like, you're talking, like, 80 years of basketball right there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Though, it's kind of funny that Tayshaun Prince probably is a power forward in nowadays, even though traditionally throughout his career he's been a three. But, yeah, you're right, he plays a lot of forward for them. So The other thing that I noticed is the one player which you just mentioned that really kind of doesn't fit on this team as far as where they're going is Kevin Martin. I don't really see the use for him on this team. You know, he sort of comes in, he's a sort of a ball hog, even though he is a little better than he was traditionally in the early parts of his career. But he is sort of, he's not like those veterans. He's not at that point where he's ready to just give up hope of winning another championship and letting the young guys develop. He is a useful piece on more of a playoff team, more of a contending type of team. So he really doesn't fit in the mold of, and he's taking up minutes from guys that could be playing, you know, primarily Zach LaVine. I feel like Zach LaVine should get more minutes on this team, even though his minutes are starting to tick up a little bit. But the other thing I've noticed about Kevin Martin and Ricky Rubio is there's no way that they're allowed in shooting practice with the young guys, right? Because their shots are so ugly. There's no way that the coach wants just Kevin Martin and Ricky Rubio in the shooting practice. They're going to show up at like 1 o'clock and everybody's going to have been there for like 2 hours. And they're like, oh, I thought practice was at one. They're like, no, it was at 11. You must've just read the time wrong. Just because they don't want them there while the young guys are actually trying to practice their shots.
Yeah. This team's interesting. I think it's going to be fun moving forward to see how much they can grow, but they do need to do something. I kind of do wonder, actually, you're going to ask the elephant in the room. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, so the last thing I wanted to touch on is that, and this sort of relates to the elephant in the room, because the thing about this team is the clutch situations. They had the lead in every game that we watched. They had the lead in the fourth quarter of every game that they watched, and I found myself just thinking that they would eventually lose. So you're just waiting on the shooter drop, and that leads me to the elephant in the room question, which is who's Batman and who's Robin? So you got Karl Anthony Towns and you got Andrew Wiggins. So who is the alpha dog? And this is sort of the OKC question, right? So it's like it goes back to the Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook dynamic. Who's Batman and who's Robin? What do you think the answer is to that?
Oh, I don't know, man. That's a tough question. And it's funny that you're asking it because I found myself asking the same thing. I was asking, like, who's going to be the guy? Right now, I think it has to be Andrew Wiggins because the big man position isn't even, like, a sexy position anymore. I don't even think kids aren't even going to be buying those jerseys, even if he's averaging, like, 25 and 15. I just feel like and Wiggins is the you know, the more experienced player, albeit by one season. But I think Wiggins is Batman, Towns is Robin. But I really, in the same sense, think Towns might end up being the better player, which in that case, the roles reverse, right?
So it's strange for me because if you go by pure, like what your case was basically that Andrew Wiggins is the prototypical build of what we consider, you know, the Batman sort of player now, like the LeBron Jameses and your Paul Georges, et cetera. And the big man is sort of extinct. But if you look at their personalities, right, Karl Anthony Towns is such a confident player, and he just wants – you can tell that he just wants the moment. He does everything with confidence, like I said. And you could just see that when he doesn't get the ball, he's sort of like, coach, like, give me the ball. I can do this. You know, I can do whatever I want. Sometimes to a flaw. He's almost too confident. Whereas Andrew Wiggins is sort of like he had this problem at Kansas. He sort of disappears at times. You don't really notice he's on the court. He's a little passive. He has the what I call the Gordon Hayward syndrome, and we're going to go back to this clip from training day. It's just
you've got to decide whether you're a wolf or a sheep.
I mean, you got to decide, Andrew Wiggins, are you a wolf or are you a sheep? Are you going to end up following Karl Anthony Towns for the next 10 years? Because it's quite possible that you're going to do that and you guys could have a successful career. You know, the both of you can have a successful career as you as just a second fiddle, but you really got to decide whether you're a wolf or a sheep. You have any more thoughts on the Timberwolves here?
No, man, I'm good.
All right, we are going to move on to – what's that?
I said let's keep it moving, baby. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. We're going to move on to the Spurs and the Warriors who face off tomorrow night for the much-anticipated first meeting. So 10:30 NBA TV, we're going to have Spurs going to, I believe it is in Golden State. They are going to Golden State. And so Pop has already announced that Tim Duncan will be resting tomorrow. So we're going to give you a little preview, which will not involve Tim Duncan because it's just a preview for tomorrow's game. And Andy Flint, give us your impressions. Who do you think is going to win tomorrow? And give us some keys to the matchup.
You know, I know what you're looking for here. And I did say that I think the Spurs are the better team. I think Golden State's going to take this game. I do.
You definitely think the Spurs are better.
Yes, yes. And however, I do still stand by that. I think the Spurs are the better team. I think if we were starting a 7-game series tomorrow, I would definitely be picking San Antonio. Even if Golden State had the home court advantage, that's still my opinion. That's, you know, my stance. However, I think, you know, maybe it doesn't matter so much that Tim Duncan isn't going to play tomorrow.
You know, what I think. Tim Duncan.
I'm not disrespecting Tim Duncan, like six man. Well, I mean, he's not the first or second best player on the team anymore. It might not even be the third at this point. I just think it's no disrespect to Tim Duncan, but I feel like more so it's going to be the home court. You know what Golden State really has that is going to make this interesting if these guys do meet in the playoffs is Golden State, even though they are – I mean, the Spurs are going to be like the wily vets, but they do have the youth of Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge. We talked about this and some other guys. Some of those other crucial role players of theirs are younger guys too. But Golden State has the same – their confidence level might even be higher than the Spurs. I mean, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, those guys, and with a guy like Kawhi Leonard and LMA there should be unlimited confidence. But this Warriors team is like the most confident young team I've ever seen. And I don't mean – don't confuse that with cocky, because sometimes you get young teams that are cocky. You know, you have like I don't want to bash my boy, but Boogie Cousins is kind of like one of those young cocky dudes, doesn't care. You know, he wants the ball. He wants to play the big most. But, like, the Warriors have backed that up. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, I do think Golden State takes tomorrow's matchup because of the home court, and I just think a few things in the works. But I do stand by the Spurs in a 7-game series. What are your thoughts, Val?
Yeah. So I also think the Warriors are going to win. However, even without Duncan, I think it's going to be a much closer game than many people think. I think many people with Duncan out have sort of given the game to the Warriors already, which is sort of a strange thing to me because the Spurs still are only 2 games behind the Warriors in the standings despite the Warriors' great start, and Duncan has rested. This isn't the first game Duncan's been out. They know how to play without Duncan. They know how to play with Duncan. They're the Spurs. They know how to do anything. I think the big question is who does Draymond Green guard in the game? So I would like to see Draymond on LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that would be a fun matchup, and I also think it would be beneficial to the Warriors to have him guard Aldridge because I think Aldridge is sort of bothered by those smaller guys that guard him because even though he has more of a finesse game, I think he's – you know, when you get a big guy, most big guys are used to being guarded by other big guys. So when you get a smaller guy on them, it sort of throws them off their game. But the other thing is, for people that were looking forward to this game, which I was one of them to a degree, but I also knew that there was no chance Pop wasn't resting at least one starter in this game because there's no way he's going to tip his hand. There's just no way. If you thought Pop was going to play straight up, then you're the same person that doesn't believe that LeBron was consulted on David Blatt's firing, and I feel bad for whoever has to tell you that Santa Claus isn't real because you clearly just believe in all kinds of myths. So there is no chance, you know, somebody was always sitting. I wouldn't even be surprised if Tony Parker doesn't play either. Despite that, I think the Spurs can still keep it close just because they do sort of still have that underdog. And we've seen this time and again when the Spurs are shorthanded that they come in. Last year, I believe they played – I want to say they had a big game against Cleveland on TNT where Pop rested like 3 guys and they won the game because these guys just know
Miami.
How to play. They know that – Yeah, was it Miami? It might have been Miami.
They did it against Miami 2 years ago. They did it against Miami. He sat because people were mad. Remember, people wanted to, like, sue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, time and again, these guys know that Pop has the confidence in them. And there's something to be said that when you're a guy like Kyle Anderson or, you know, even a Boris Diaw, where Pop just looks at you and says, okay, you're going to play 25 minutes tonight against the Golden State Warriors, and I have complete faith in you. That's all a confidence game. You know, people don't realize how much of a confidence game that it is. And when you have that, when your coach has that kind of confidence in you, these guys are all NBA players. Charles Barkley said something that really stuck with me once. He said the only difference between bad teams and good teams is one player. You know, one team has LeBron James, so that's why they're a good team, and that's why you're a bad team. If you put LeBron James on like 25 of the other teams in the NBA, they're probably playoff teams. At this point, even at this point in his career, and that's probably low. It's probably all 30 teams, to be honest. You know, I really think that the Spurs are going to be able to keep it close, but ultimately I think the Warriors are going to win because of the home court advantage.
Yeah, it's literally the home court advantage is the reason I'm giving it to them, too. And, you know, it's not to say that Tim Duncan doesn't matter, but I think this is one of those matchups where you might almost be better off with different rotations, or you're going to have, you know, your rotations are going to have to be more plentiful, because I think the Spurs are going to have to go small, and Tim Duncan, to me, almost doesn't even fit into that. I mean, if Bo gets on the court, fine, but you don't want Duncan guarding the Draymond Green.
I want
no part of that matchup.
Yeah, that's going to be the big question. When they inevitably meet in the Western Conference Finals, unless the OKC Thunder happen to have something to say about it. But the big question is going to be, can you play Duncan and Aldridge at the same time against the small ball lineup? That's going to be what the huge question of the series is going to be. ESPN's going to be talking about it for 24 hours a day for about a week.
And they can work that in different ways, too, because there's, you know, you don't want Andrew Bogut getting caught on LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, we saw Dwight Howard get caught on LaMarcus Aldridge in the playoffs, and I mean, Aldridge had a great series, and you know, it was good defense, and he brings you out, and then, you know, you talk about Draymond Green, and Draymond Green's going to be comfortable being brought out, but the thing with Aldridge is, and I think you're going to see it a lot with Green, is Aldridge is going to post Green up from 18 feet away. He's more than comfortable taking that shot. Is Green athletic enough to you know, get up and block those shots or contest them? I mean, Aldridge is both taller and he's very good at making space, a la like a Dirk Nowitzki. So I don't know. It's an intriguing matchup. I do have a question for you real fast, though. I have a friend who's a Spurs fan. I asked him the other day if he thought Kawhi Leonard was the best player in the NBA. He said, yes, absolutely. Can you make a case for Kawhi Leonard to be the best player in the NBA currently? Would you accept an argument?
Listen, I love Kawhi Leonard. I might be the biggest Kawhi Leonard fan. There is no way he's the best player in the NBA. There's no way Kawhi Leonard is better than Steph Curry. The Steph Curry disrespect really has to stop at some point, because everybody just wants to not give him the fact that he's the best player in the NBA at this point, and it's just no contest. It is Steph Curry. There is no second place. He is the LeBron James now. Steph Curry is LeBron James, where we were just like, LeBron's the best player, just write it down, just take it to the bank, it's over. You know, you guys can compete for number two. That's Steph Curry right now. So Kawhi.
I mean, I love Kawhi too, but I don't even think he's top three or four. I mean, personally.
Yeah, you can make a slight case for number two, even though I think it might be a little weak of a case. But we are going to move on to the end of our show, our fantasy segment every week, the Fantasy Stud and Scrub of the Week, where we tell you the best and worst players in fantasy basketball. Andy Flint, who is your fantasy stud of the week?
My fantasy stud is one Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. Kemba's had like a 26-point game, a 40-point game, a 21-point game, a 52-point game against the Jazz. He's been tearing it up, and he had a couple overtimes in there to get that.
Yeah, the MLK Day game was a double overtime game, but hey, stats are stats. Fantasy doesn't care how long the game takes. My fantasy stud of the week is James Harden with two triple-doubles this week, including one just before we came on air. But how's this for a triple-double stat line, Andy? 33 points, 17 rebounds, 14 assists, and then the next game he had a vintage James Harden game, 30 points on 15 shots. So what more do you want from him? The Rockets are quietly coming on. Not quite enough for me to cash in on my 55.5 over in wins bet, but coming on nonetheless. Andy Flint, who is your fantasy scrub of the week?
I dug deep into the bag here a little bit just because it was a guy that affected me personally, and deal with it, everyone. I hold grudges. I'm looking at Andrew Nicholson of the Orlando Magic. He was a guy that was like a steal to get probably 4 weeks ago. You know, nobody had him. He was getting some minutes. He was doing some nice things. And, you know, deeper leagues. I play in 12-team leagues. He's a bum now. He hasn't scored a point in, like, four games.
So I also stuck with the Orlando Magic, but I went with a different direction. I went with Evan Fournier, who found himself on the bench by the end of the week after a hot start to the season. Shot 28% this week. And everyone who had Nick Batum as their best French player in the league this season, go collect your winnings, I guess. So we are going to end our show, but before we do, I am going to tell you, Andy Flint, we are going to the Brothers up north, getting full on that Jack Mac. Shout out to Loaded Lux. We are going up north. We are watching the Toronto Raptors this week and see what Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan have to offer.
It's
but
about
this
time.
Is the end. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're a huge Kyle Lowry fan. I forgot about that, Nova. This is the end of our show. We will be with you next Sunday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. to continue our journey across the NBA. But we will end, as always, with the great philosopher Jason White Chocolate Williams, who once probably thought, basketball is like last call at the bar. Sometimes it's better to pass without looking. And with that, we bid you good night.